Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati on a Wednesday. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, you?
Just peachy, thank you. We got Big Jim Murray in our update studio, fully loaded program with Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass. We're going to do a lot of football later on in the show, okay? There's a lot of stuff I want to get to with Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly. There's a lot of stuff I want to get to as it relates to Mike Vrabel, the coach of the Tennessee Titans, as it relates to Malcolm Butler and that reunion this week. So a lot of stuff I want to get to later on in the show, so we're going to start with everything else in the first hour, i.e. Red Sox hot stove, what the Yankees are circling to do, the very latest rumors from around the league as it relates to the Red Sox. We're going to start with that. We're going to start with Kevin Paul DuPont in his take bunker on Tuukka Rask, like that lone Japanese soldier still in the cave, fighting the good fight, last of the Mohicans, boo-hoo Tuukka crew. Okay, we'll get to that.
The South in the Civil War.
Yeah, and we will get to and lead off with Jaylen Brown has him winning how many championships by the time he's 28?
I think he's said five. Five or six?
By the time he's 28.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
How old is he now?
20-ish. 21, 22.
Okay, so he did
somewhere in that area?
He did an interview with Bleacher Report. There's some music behind it because it's, oh, I don't know what it is. It's street. It's young. It's whatever you do now. You just can't.
It's modern media.
Yeah, right. Like, you can't have a ball game without, a deluge of the sentences, and now you can't have an interview unless you're driving around in a car or they're playing some, porn music or something underneath you.
22. He's 22.
Okay, so there's production value underneath this. This is him with a gal from Bleacher Report. Go ahead, Jimmy, roll the
interview. So, 28-year-old Jay. How many championships
28-year-old Jay like that? I'm not going to jinx myself, but he's had 6 years. I'm going to go ahead and say it's 5 or 6. I'm going to say that.
So you win in the championship every year from here to...
I don't want to jinx myself.
You already did. You already said it.
And I don't play to lose, so I'm going to go ahead and say... I'm going to give it a 5. You know what I mean?
5 rings by 28.
That's what... I'm going to go with that, yeah.
How confident are you about winning this year?
Super confident. People misconstrue confidence and arrogance.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not being arrogant, and we don't have to take the steps to be the team that we say we want to be, right? But because we got the mindset of a champion. I think that's where it starts.
Okay. Your thoughts on that, Anthony?
So this, to me, is exactly what I was saying about the Celtics yesterday when we were talking about that loss at Denver and the overall sort of attitude of the Celtics here early in the season. Can you win one first? Tell you what, how about get to the finals first, before you start talking about winning 5 or 6. This, to me, is where the Celtics sound like a bunch of asshats. And maybe it's mostly Jaylen Brown, because it feels to me like he's the one talking more than anybody. If this were a guy on another team, in another organization, we mocked LeBron he went to Miami for doing the whole 3-4-5 thing.
I was just going to say, what is the practical difference between what Jaylen Brown just did and LeBron James saying not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6?
There is no practical difference.
Is there any difference whatsoever?
No. And in fact, the only practical difference is that LeBron was a more established player in the league, and although he still hadn't won. So I look at that and I say,
I mean, the only difference is that one's the best player in the league and the other guy probably shouldn't even be starting. So you tell me, green teamers, how do we mock LeBron James for the last 5, 6 years for that thing and not mock Jaylen? Oh, so it's just about the laundry? Or, I mean, you tell me the difference. Why is that okay in LeBron James?
It isn't any different. It's the same exact thing. And this is the part that's driving me bananas, because I do feel like mindset matters. And so it's one thing to say, we think we're good. It's another thing to say, no problem, we're going to win 5 or 6.
You're both taking this way too seriously.
Well, Murray, just give me a second. Let us unload, and then you can, sure. I know what you got. So just give me a second. We take everything too seriously.
But this one, I'll get to it, but go ahead.
That's the whole point of the show. If we're not going to take it seriously, we'll talk about something else. So I take everything seriously. And it's just horrible. You tell me the difference between LeBron James saying not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, and Jaylen Brown doing what he did, except LeBron James might have the right to do it. versus this kid who shouldn't even be starting and has frankly sucked to start the year. It's the same kid in the offseason who talked like they had actually beaten the Cavaliers last year, forgetting the fact that they gagged at home in Game 7. And, oh, by the way, if you're really thinking about it, have lost at home in the playoffs for 3 years running. Never mind win one. Can they not gag at home? You lose at home to the Atlanta Hawks. Ha, ha, ha. And you're talking about five championships?
How about get to the finals first?
You have home court advantage against Cleveland the year before. You lose in four straight or whatever. No, I guess it was five. But the average margin of defeat was like 25 points. And you're talking about five championships? And you lose at home in Game 7 last year. So how about you just win at home?
See, I think the Garnett-Pierce-Allen Celtics, they were better than this team. That team was. They went 66-16, and then they won the title. And you know what? They didn't say this kind of crap. And like, they just went out and said, no, we have to actually we have to win at home. They talked about getting home court advantage because it was going to be important to them. Like, all of that stuff. They didn't treat it as, like, some sort of, you know, pickup game in the neighborhood where you say, yeah, we're just going to show up with the five best guys and we're going to run the whole afternoon because no one's going to be able to bounce us off the floor.
I'll tell you what.
It drives me bananas. I can't stand it. There's nothing worse to me than a guy who talks about winning multiple championships who's never won anything.
I mean, if you're in Golden State and you're reading that and watching that, you're laughing your ass off. You're mocking that guy. Jalen, dude, you've kind of sucked this year. You probably shouldn't even be starting. We're trying to figure out what to do with you because you've sucked. And you're talking about winning five, six championships? Ugh. And it's just odd. Like, we talked about in the offseason, what could derail the Celtics? Like, you know, they look so good and, you know, everything's sort of lining up for them. And, you know, what could be it? And the one thing you came up with, other than injuries, is sort of egos and getting ahead of themselves and sharing the ball and having the right team mindset. Like, that sort of gets tricky in the NBA. And you just sort of said that, like, there was nothing else. Oh, but it's turned out to be true. Rap record drops from another guy who sucks. About his 52 million. So you got rap records. You got guys talking like they actually won something last year against Cleveland. And now he's got his five championships in the next 5 or 6 years. Oh, please.
That is rampant throughout the NBA, though. You know that. That's just that league.
It is. So maybe it's just an NBA thing. Murray, what do you think?
Well, so I would mostly be with you because Jaylen Brown is bordering on overconfidence into cockiness, and it has bothered me a little bit. But I heard Jones going off about this last night, and I knew immediately what the interview was that he was talking about. Because if you know anything about the Bleacher Report interviewer, her name is Taylor Rooks, who's built like Jessica Rabbit, by the way. Any of the NBA dudes she interviews, and there's a plethora of these interviews, they all turn into a puddle around her. In fact, the reason she kind of became sort of internet famous and she became a meme for a minute is because earlier in the season or over the summer, she interviewed Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade doesn't even keep eye contact with her. He refuses to look at her because she's too hot. So to me, I don't know. I look at this, and yes, it's kind of ridiculous that he says that, but he titles. But I just think this is Jaylen Brown puffing his chest, trying to look like a big shot, which I kind of commend him for because shooters shoot. He's trying to take his shot here with the lovely Taylor Rooks. Again, if you're not familiar with the name, Google or find her Instagram and you'll say, oh yeah, no, I probably would have said that. Eight titles. If I got a chance, if I was single and she interviewed me, I'd say, oh, I could be the mayor of Boston by next year. Yeah, big aspirations for me. My last name's actually Beasley. I own Beasley Media Company. Don't you know that, Taylor? Huh? Maybe you want to have a drink with me? This is Jaylen Brown taking a shot.
Well, so the whole interview is like, I mean, all right, God, like, they're knee to knee. Like, they put them right next to each other. You know, it's not like they're sitting on opposite sides of a desk or apart. They're like almost knee to knee. And Jalen's got his legs spread. He's just comfortable. I'm not, like, I don't mean it to be suggestive, but it.
She's ridiculous.
You know, I mean, she is, wow, you know, a stunning gal. And he's got his legs spread and he's sort of rubbing his knees and he's, right, so he's. Clearly,
look at the look on his face.
I know, but I put it together, Murray, with the nonsense what he said about the Cleveland series.
Well, see,
in the offseason.
That's why. Look, Murray, I hear you.
Why can't you pick up a girl with a humble approach?
Okay, like if Halle Berry were interviewing me, I'd feel the same way.
No, but I said, like, Haley, I'm just trying to win one. You know, like I mean, don't you just sort of underplay? I mean, that's another way to play that. Too,
yeah,
right?
Be cool.
Yeah, act like you've been there before.
Be cool. For crying out loud. And again, if this were a one-off thing, I might be able to shrug it off. But this is happening routinely with this guy. Like, he's talking about, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, LeBron's out of the conference. You know, he was fearing us anyway. I mean, I'm giving you the abridged version of the altered version, the Felger and Maz version. But nonetheless,
that's pretty much what he said.
Yeah. But I look at it and I see, this is it's starting to irritate the crap out of me. because the Celtics are talking like they are some sort of wagon that has 8 titles under its belt already, and now he's saying, yeah, we're going to win another 5. He's talking like he's Tom Brady, which is bugging the crap out of me. So like, enough already. You're 6-4.
And I wonder if just different strains of that thing has just crept into the team. Like, you know, that was the only fear you had about the team. Really. There's nothing else to even think about except
big egos and bitchiness.
Yeah, that thing, right? Yeah. Murray, big egos and bitchiness. And here we are. It like happened between the nonsense that this guy's spewing and the rap video and then how they're playing, which is, you know, as Gary Washburn wrote in the Globe the other day, it looks like not everyone's happy with the healthy return of Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. That guys are miffed about shots and minutes and roles and this sort of thing. And so
I'm more concerned with that thing from that Washburn piece yesterday than this Jaylen Brown interview.
I wrap it all together.
Yeah, to me, it all falls under
nice,
the same thing.
Tidy narrative there, Murray.
See, but because the
bottom, if this was Jim Gray doing this interview, I'd be right with you. But this Taylor Rooks.
No,
man.
That ain't Jim Gray.
But to me, oh no, that's definitely not Jim Gray.
Wow.
No, that, in fact, you could put 3 Jim Grays together. It's not even close to what that is. Like, so look, I just, individually, they're talking like they've accomplished a lot more than they have collectively. I don't know any other way to say that. Or I'm not saying that properly.
No, I got it.
They're all acting like superstars. They're acting like superstars. And in that league, you know what makes you a superstar? The rings. And in order to get the rings, you know what you have to do? You got to make sure that you fit within the team framework.
Okay.
Which means you have to subjugate your ego, not let it get bigger.
Let's hear it, Green Teamers. You can release the hounds, Jimmy. 617-779-0985. You've spent the past, I don't know, however long that was, whenever LeBron did that pep rally in Miami.
That's now.
Eight years ago?
Yeah.
You've spent 8 years mocking LeBron for not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6. You've spent 8 years ragging on him for that. But I'm sure this is okay with you. Tell me why. We'll get to your thoughts. We also got, again, Kevin Paul DuPont in his take bunker with Tuukka Rask and the latest on the baseball hot stove. Those items next with you. Don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, 28-year-old Jalen. How many championships 28-year-old Jalen got?
I'm not going to jinx myself, but he's had 6 years. I'm going to go ahead and say 5 or 6. I'm going to say that.
So you win in the championship every year from here to...
I don't want to jinx myself.
You already did. You already said it.
And I don't play to lose, so I'm going to go ahead and say... I'm going to give it a 5. You know what I mean?
5 rings by 28.
That's what I'm going to go with that, yeah.
I don't play to lose, he says. I know where Murray's coming from. That's what he's doing. The Taylor Rose or whatever.
Rooks.
Shoot or shoot, man.
I hear you. But if it wasn't wrapped into all this other stuff, I would grant that.
Yeah.
He's been talking like that all offseason. And the team has carried itself like that, and they're playing like that. And there's little issues here with the team that sort of speak to that. And I think it's part of all sort of the same story. I feel like they're all sort of putting the cart before the horse. And so we get your reaction. How come LeBron was a clown for saying it, but Jaylen Brown isn't? You tell me, what's the difference? You spent the last 8 years mocking LeBron. Frank in West Roxbury, go.
Yeah, the difference is LeBron was the best player in the league. He just signed with a rival, took the easy way out. Jaylen Brown, he's just one of the, because he's not even a starter on the team. He's a knucklehead, but LeBron had totally took the easy way out, then started claiming he's going to win championships. It's totally different. Jaylen Brown just a role player.
He doesn't think he's a role player. I mean, let me tell you the difference. LeBron wears a Cleveland uniform, and Jaylen Brown's in green.
It's that
Celtics
simple.
Fans, would you? But I mean, I want to hear the pretzel logic. I would just like to hear it.
So I can't tell whether the guy's defending LeBron or attacking him. Like what? Taking the easy way? What's that got to do with anything? The thing was stupid either way. When LeBron and Wade and Bosch did that, it was stupid. We mocked the crap out of them. And now Jaylen Brown is sitting here when he's never even been out of the conference and saying he's going to win 5 or 6 in 5 or 6 years. Like, to me, this is, see, to me, it speaks of mindset. Like, oh, no problem. We got this. And like, if I'm Stevens or Ainge, I'm pissed at this. Going, you think you're just going to show up and win? You think you're that good?
It's how Jaylen Brown feels. He's been talking like this all offseason. He does. John on the South Shore. Go ahead. What's the difference?
So listen, Felger, I'm the biggest Felger guy going, but you're so off base on this. First and foremost, he threw himself a damn parade. He never got asked what he was going to do. He told us what he was going to do when 4, 5, 6. He's sitting next to a smoke who asked him a question, right? It's obviously a douchey thing to say, but listen, the guy got nervous and he said 4 or 5, whatever.
Oh, don't defend him.
So far off base.
Well, no, you just said it was a douchey thing to do. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Comparing him to the biggest loser in the league, LeBron, is insane.
Oh, see, that's just it. I just touched a nerve, but I'm right. I just touched a little fan bone. But there's no difference between what the two guys did. It's just a fan bone. Sorry. But the truth's the truth.
Oh, stop it. Will you? Like, people are going to defend this now. Are you kidding me? Like, so I get it. So you can mock LeBron, but not Mark Brown.
No, the caller just said it was a douchey thing to do. Agreed. Yep. Meaning Jaylen Brown.
And now we're going to excuse every guy who's sitting next to a hot reporter? Well, if that's the case, then we're not going to talk about anything. Because I take a good look. Find me the first ugly woman who works on TV. Find me her. They're all smokes.
Don't ask people to do that because they'll do it. Here's Wyatt in Somerville. Hi, Wyatt on the Celtics.
Yeah, I mostly agree with you guys. I think Murray, I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, this is a dumb thing for Jaylen Brown to have said. I don't like what Irving said the other night either. Jaylen, these guys need to take a page out of the Patriots book and just start shutting up and playing ball. They just gave up 50 points to Jamal Murray on Denver. They're 6-4. Now, I love this team, and I love what they did last year. I love a lot of the guys in this team. And I think that down the road, I'm hoping that we can figure it out. My benchmark's Thanksgiving. If these issues are going on past Thanksgiving, if Hayward can't find his role, Jaylen Brown can't find his role, then Danny Ainge needs to look into this and figure out what we need to go with our future. I think it's obvious that Rozier, his future is elsewhere. We already signed Smart. That's already sold. But long term, I think it's obvious Irving and Tatum and Smart and Horford, they got to be here long term. Jaylen Brown, I don't know what kind of mind warp he's going on. He's going to be expecting so much money. I don't know how we're going to pay this guy. Hayward's already $30 million in the bag. This is a big problem for the Celtics. They have a draft pick coming up.
So, Wyatt, hold on. You're just giving me too much. But, one of your points there, I do think they need to thin the ranks a little bit. They do need to thin the ranks. Bill Simmons, I guess, tweeted this today, a couple hours ago. Bill Simmons said, unexpected early season Celtics subplot, : Terry Rozier, restricted free agent next summer, has been unhappy with his playing time all season. Word has gotten around the league, and everyone now knows the Celtics need to trade him, which, of course, makes it harder to trade him. That was Simmons' tweet. So, yes, this is what we mentioned yesterday with, Washburn was alluding to something that's real in there. Not everyone is happy with the healthy returns of Irving and Hayward. That's an issue. And I'll just say once again, of all the issues to have with the team, this is the best issue to have.
Of course.
They have too much talent, and they have to figure out how to get the proper shots and minutes and roles for all their good players. That's a great problem to have, and if you start with that problem in the NBA, you're in good shape. And it's also a very solvable problem. Ship guys out, give them an attitude adjustment. They all figure out at some point they've got to subjugate themselves, and you can sort of figure that thing out. So I'm not telling you they're cooked. I'm just telling you that this little thing that we thought might happen is happening, has happened. And the Jaylen Brown interview is a product of it, and I don't care what the reporter looks like. And there's only one practical sort of, rub here. And that is if it takes too long for them to figure it out, and I do think they'll figure it out, but if it takes too long and you somehow lose home court to Toronto, Game 7 in Toronto, I'm sorry, is not an automatic. That's a problem, no matter how good you are.
If anything, based on their record there, it's a guaranteed loss. They can't win there.
They haven't won there in like 13 straight trips or something?
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't want that. I don't care what their team looks like.
I'll tell you what, based on last year, I'm not sure they'd win on the road in Milwaukee if it came to that.
That I'm less sure of, but Toronto, they've never been able. I mean, it's been a while since they've played well up there.
Yeah, look, all I'm telling you is that the young guy, this team's vulnerable to it because a lot of their key guys are young. And young guys, with all due respect, are stupid. They lack perspective. They don't understand. And so I go back to the 08 Celtics, 07, 08 Celtics, because they were veteran guys who understood, hey, you know what? Kevin Garnett, I've been in the league for however many years, and we never win, as great as I am, so it's not about the numbers anymore. And they all have perspective, and they understand the sacrifice involved. Rozier, Brown, Tatum, I'm not sure they get it. I'm not sure Smart gets it with regard to that part now. And even Hayward, I wonder if he gets it. The only guy who's won a ring there is Kyrie. I think Horford gets it. Because Horford's been around long enough to know, and he's been on a lot of good teams with Atlanta, would get to the playoffs and lose because he knew that they didn't have enough talent in those cases. But Horford's a team guy. These young guys on the Celtics, they don't get it. They need some humility.
Too busy trying to impress the sideline reporter? Really? Cam and Taunton, what do you got on the Red Sox? Hi, Cam.
This offseason is a big one because they got to make the decision, A, are they going to go for it one more time, or B, do what Marshall Hook wants them to do and rip it apart and start over because of how bad their farm is. What worries me is they're going to do neither, because the last time they won, they went into the offseason and they did nothing. Now, I know that was Lucchino and Sherrington, but that offseason, all you heard was Henry running his mouth about how brilliant their strategy was. Meanwhile, the Yankees went out and spent their faces off with Ellsbury, McCann, Beltran, and Tanaka. Now, granted, none of those guys worked for them, but still, they went out and were aggressive, and they're going to be aggressive now. You heard Steinbrenner last week. He's pissed that they lost to the Red Sox, and he's pissed the Red Sox won. They cannot half-ass this winter.
Okay, Maz, thoughts on that? You know the Yankees are going big this offseason.
Yeah, so look, here's what I would tell you, though. I'm not comparing this team to 2013. This team's way better than that team was.
Okay, but
so they have less to do.
Approach.
Okay, they have less to do.
Well, all they have to do is their work is trying to retain as much as possible.
Right, pretty much keep it intact. So if that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I just think that part of it's a bad analogy. You know, if they bring the team back, I'm good with that. The next 15 months, though, and I don't think it's just this offseason. Cam's right. The next 15 months are big. Okay, we're going to find out a lot. However, and he's also right about the Yankee part of it. Oh, they're coming at you both barrels now. They're going to come both barrels. And he said it. Hal Steinbrenner last week said that he's pissed off that they lost to the Red Sox. He said, I'm always mad when it's any division rival, but they're pissed off. Now they're being linked to all these big names. And let's face it, the Yankees are now at a critical point in their development. If last year they were a year early, this year they underachieved. So now they have the nucleus going forward. They got to fill the holes. They have the money to fill it. They have young players to trade. Now's the time. And they know they have to win the division.
So let me just put a face on it real quick. You know, the reports are the other day that they are out on Harper but in on Machado. Maz thinks that might be an end around because they really want Harper, who has turned down $300 million, $30 million a year from Washington. And he turned it down for some reason because he knows something more is out there. And Maz thinks it might be Harper instead of Machado because Harper hits from the left side and that's what the Yankees need. Either way,
I thought they wanted Harper to play first base, the Yankees.
I'm just telling you what Maz said.
Okay, sorry.
Either way, we've got Machado or we've got Harper coming to New York. I think you can book it.
Pretty much.
One of those two guys is going to be there. Furthermore, Cleveland apparently is going to be in a little bit of a retool and Corey Kluber is on the market. Never mind, who's the good left-hander in Seattle?
James Paxton.
James Paxton is on the market. So the Yankees are going to come home with some starting pitching. One of these guys, Paxton, Kluber, mark it down, and Machado or Harper, mark it down.
Yes, look, they're going to get a big-time starting pitcher. They are. It's just the need there is apparent. And I think, look, I just think if you look at the Yankees' history, the guy that they say at the beginning of the offseason that they're really not in on is the guy they end up being in on. Whether it's Jacoby Ellsbury, whether it's Mark Teixeira, all of a sudden the Yankees pop up at the end. Always, 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 because Cashman typically goes to Boris and he says, come to us at the end and we'll talk. Once you know what your max offer is, let us know and then we'll talk. So they don't play the game all the way along. Typically, that's how Cashman does it. Look, you don't have to fear him anymore. Okay, you got a good team, but they're coming.
We'll pick this up.
They are coming.
Pick it up on the other side after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Since the curse was ended in 2004, they have won four championships to the Yankees one. They've made fast work of all these World Series. They've done it when they get to the World Series, they win it. They've done it in very fast order. But today, I mean, they look a little ridiculous. First of all, if you're the Red Sox and if you're the manager, don't worry about the Yankees. Enjoy yourself. Talk about yourself. Praise yourself, praise your city. Don't worry about what the Yankees are doing. I mean, to talk about the Yankees is low rent. And then you're putting your first foot forward, your best foot forward, are you, when you hit your own manager with a beer can? I mean, come on. You hit your own manager with a beer can? I mean, that's Philly stuff. That's not Boston stuff. I mean, come on. That's you expect in Philly. I mean, you hit your own manager with a, and they wouldn't do that. You hit your own manager with a beer can at a victory parade? They're winning too much in Boston now. It's gone to their heads. They need to get smacked down down the sides. But you know what? Got to do it on the field. They've earned these championships. Kudos.
Not just the fact that you've won all those. Mike Francesa, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just that you've won all those, but the nature of this last one with the New York thing coming out of the stadium and then how you poleaxe them down at Yankee Stadium. And then some comments by Cora that were misconstrued, and I can see how they were in New York, where Cora said that thing at the championship parade where, you know, we're 1-1 after these two games here and the sky's falling. Then we go down to New York and score 16 runs. Suck on that. Suck on it, he says. If you're in New York, that sounds like he's saying to you, suck on it.
Right.
He was really talking to us.
Exactly, the critics in Boston.
Fans and media. He was talking
to doomsayers.
He was talking to the naysayers in Boston. He wasn't talking to the Yankees in New York, but the Yankees go, they suck on it. Oh. And so now I think that just adds to it. New York has prospects to deal, money to spend. They're farther below that luxury tax threshold than you are. Machado, Harper, Kluber, Paxton, you name it. They're getting a couple of these guys.
They're angry. When they're mad, they're to be feared, or they're to be, you know, sort of reckoned with. Now, here's the one thing I don't know. If the old man, you know, bless his soul, were still there, they would come back guns blazing, I have no doubts. The Yankees would be flipping over tables for every player on the planet. George would lose his mind over this. I don't know if the kid has it in him. I don't know if he has it in him the same way George did. But I think he does, or at least enough of it, and I think Cashman does, because trust me, this goes right up Cashman's elevator shaft. Right up there. He is pissed. He's another one who's pissed. So they're going to come after the Red Sox now, and they've got some ground to make up, because look, clearly the Red Sox are a better team.
All right, let me do this quickly.
We scored 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
He was talking to Stu and Murray. He wasn't talking to the Yankees.
Typical Francis.
We scored 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
He was talking to Shaughnessy.
You throw a beer can at your own skipper?
But the Yanks have taken it personal, and you can see why. So, interesting offseason for them. Yours is just how close can you stay to status quo?
Pretty much.
That's how you're going to judge your offseason. They got Harper, Machado, Paxton, Kluber, as I said. All right, do you want to weigh in on that? You can. I also promised you one more thing non-football related, and that is Kevin Paul DuPont. He's the what?
No, I was going to say, I saw this column this morning before we emailed, and I read it, and there was one thing missing from it. One, the first two words at the beginning, Dear Felger.
It does feel like it's written right to us.
Oh, no, to you.
Maybe it's to others.
To you, not to us, to you.
Because if this is the case, he hasn't been listening. But that's okay. Here, headline on his column, don't blame Rask.
Dear Felger.
He says, blame Tuukka. Only a month into the new NHL season, it's the thing to do here in the hub of hockey where Tuukka Rask, his record now is so 4-3, finds himself the Red Sox bullpen of the 2018-19 Bruins. Can the Bruins beat Vancouver Thursday night? If not, blame Tuukka. Will they make it to Thanksgiving parked in one of the playoff spots? If not, blame Tuukka. Do they have the stuff to win the Stanley Cup? If not, you know what to do. Blame Tuukka. He says Rask is 31 now and more than 5 years beyond being chosen GOAT for allowing the Blackhawks to beat the Bruins in the 2013 Stanley Cup Finals. Let me stop, because he's saying there that this all germinated with Rask and the Bruins losing to the Blackhawks there in 13 and us blaming Tuukka for that loss. This is where I'm saying he must not have ever listened to me on this, because I've never blamed Tuukka for that loss. I mean, I don't think he was great, but day one, the day it happened, the day before it happened, the day after, now 5 years later, the better team won. The better team won that series. That was right in the middle of the Blackhawks buzzsaw. That was an all-time team at the height of their powers. You weren't as good. It wasn't about the goalie. I've never said that. I don't know. I mean, I think some callers have, but I've never, ever said Tuukka was to blame for losing to the Blackhawks. He wasn't so hot in some games, but again, that's a better team. So I don't know, again, where DuPont's getting, if he's blaming me for that. Anyway, he says that's when Blame Tuukka was born. The Blame Tuukka thing. Tuukka remains the go-to guy when fans and talk show hosts are compelled to find a reason why the Bruins don't win every night. When this guy Fasca there in Dallas beat him with a cupcake off left wing on Monday night, Mike from Winthrop and Eddie from Revere, I think those are actual callers, Eddie from Revere is, Mike from Winthrop and Eddie and Revere set their cell phones to Blame Tuukka auto dial. For Tuesday morning, ready for another day of Rip Rask Radio. host. Okay, Mike, what you got? Mike, did you see it? How many times do I have to say it? Get Rask out of there. So I don't think he means me, Mike. He means Mike and Winthrop.
No, yeah, he means Mike.
Okay, so yeah. He says the cudgel buddies, which I assume now mean Mike and Eddie.
Yeah, you too.
But the cudgel buddies, with pictures of Game 6 in 2013 plastered on their bathroom walls, have been emboldened this year because Halak has been outstanding. They want Halak to be in the net every night, and Rask set off to Saskatoon after a public flogging in Saugus. In fact, I've said you're probably at your best if Rask finds his game and gets back, as usual. I just have very little faith that he'll do it. So again, I don't know if he's talking to me or Mike and Winthrop, either way.
He's talking to you.
But this is the last of the Mohicans. And then he goes on this long thing about why he likes Rask, because he comes out and talks to the media every night, which is, folks, when I tell you so Globe, it's not even funny. That is Globe 101. Do you talk to me? Okay, you're good. Do you not talk to me? Okay, you suck. I have dealt with this for 30 years. 30 years. With Cafardo and Borges in the Patriots locker room, to on and on just covering the thing the way all these Globe guys do it the same way. If you talk to me, you're good to me, you're good. If you don't talk to me, you're not good to me, you suck. Globe 101. It's like when you walk in the door. So DuPont goes into that whole thing about how Rask talks to the media every night, whether he wins, loses, or draws.
You think that's just a Globe thing?
Oh, it's so endemic there, it's not even funny.
Oh, I think it's a total like media thing, but go ahead.
They're hardly the only place. That's fair. I just encountered it so much. Don't tell me you didn't. My God. Oh, the guy, the Borges Cafardo crew in that Patriots locker room, one a-hole after the next, were suddenly good guys because they talked to the Globe. Ben Coates, Terry Glenn, please. Anyway, DuPont then goes into this thing about you should know your numbers then if you're going to criticize Rask. And he talks about over the last 6 years, when comparing him to the 11 other current NHL goaltenders who've played 300 games since Rask became a number one in 2012 and 2013, he ranks first in games played ahead of Holtby and Lundqvist. He ranks second in wins behind only Holtby. He ranks first in goals against ahead of guys like Jonathan Quick and Ben Bishop. He ranks second in save percentage behind Sergei Bobrovsky and right ahead of Bishop. And so he says, so blame the guy all you want. But the 11 workhorses during his years as a starter, blame Tuca, is first or second in all four categories. So blame away, because that's what we do here, but at least know your numbers. So those are the numbers going back 6 years. 6 years. Have you watched them the last couple? How has Rask been the last 2-3 years?
Average.
I mean, just use your eyes. Don't give me any numbers. How has he been the last 2-3 years?
Average.
Meh.
Average system goalie.
I mean, who said he's been like elite the last 2-3 years?
Nobody.
Has he been? Could anyone possibly make that claim?
No, he's been average.
So Kevin's dialing it back 6 years to when he first got the starting job and was working towards his free agent contract. He went pre-contract back 6 years?
Yeah, see, to me, the contract is an important line of demarcation there, too, but keep going.
Well, there's nothing else to go to.
Yeah, to me, it's again, there's been a deterioration. He's been an average goalie now for a couple of years.
Use your eyes. How's
maybe,
he looked?
Maybe three.
Use your eyes. How has he looked? Is that anywhere in the column? How's he look, Kevin? How does he look to you? How's he looked to you the last couple of years?
How about just this season? How many bad goals has he given up just this year?
So just the last couple, it's really fallen off. And I was always a big Tuca guy. I see, unfortunately for me, unlike the Globe, I just use my eyes. And when he plays poorly, I say it. And when he plays well, I say it. That's just sort of a curse that I have. I just tell you what I see without any agenda. I don't talk to any of these guys, so I don't care whether they talk to me or not. But I never got on Tuca until the last couple. Till his play fell off. How could you not say his play? How could you possibly make the claim that his play hasn't fallen off? Do you watch? So here's the numbers just the last 2 years. Save percentage rankings. The last 2+ years. Again, starting in the 2016 season. 16, 17, 17, 18, and now a month into this year. Last 2+ years. I put a minimum of 50 starts on it. Okay, so even platoon goalies. He ranked 17th. 17th in save percentage the last 2+ years. 9-16. I'll even give you a longer sample, Kev. I'll go back last 4+ years, starting right after that Stanley Cup year, beginning in 2014. 4+ years. He ranks 15th in save percentage. Playoff save percentage. Rankings the last 2 years. Playoff save percentage. He ranks 18th. 909. 18th. Playoff save percentage the last 2 years.
Wait a minute. How many teams make the playoffs?
16. But in 2 years, there's, you know.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
So, no, but so maybe there's 22 teams to pick from?
No, that's funny. go, that's bad.
This year he ranks 22nd in save percentage. Halak, by the way, is first. So it's like, if you want to go back 3 and 4 years, 5, 6 years, yeah, he was good. Well, how's he been the last 2+ years? Your eyes. So forget my numbers, forget your numbers. How has he played?
Yeah, I think it's even longer than a couple of years now. I think it's closer to 3 or 4. He's been average. He's been an average goalie.
I never blamed him for the Blackhawks. You were going to lose.
And again,
they were better.
This year, Murray's right. All you got to do, just shoot short side. Your chances are 50-50 right now. How many short side goals has he let up this year? Softies from that side. How many?
Oh, there's another one. Ty Anderson back there. That's another guy. The Boo-Hoo Tuca crew. Like, use your eyes, Ty. Just what do you see?
Yeah, you're just singling out the Globe, though, for who knows why, because it was in the Globe today. But the reality is every beat guy ever likes the guy who talks to him.
They're worse.
Maybe. You might be right about that.
They're worse.
I used to like the guys whether I was working at the Herald or the Globe.
Ty tells me that the players hate his guts.
Hate whose guts?
Hate Ty Anderson's guts. Ty tells me that the players hate Ty Anderson.
Oh, I see. I don't know how that's relevant.
I just like the idea of making promos for the radio station, Rip Rask Radio. Time to step into the finished puddle. It's Rip Rask Radio.
I told you, I saw the comment. I went, oh, this is good.
Oh, but
dear Felger.
But these guys, it's like, just tell me what you see. Forget about whether he talks to you or not, or whether he likes you or not, or just tell me what you see.
Average. He's been an average goalie for a while now. System goalie.
Can you possibly say anything else?
System goalie.
All right. Long commercial free segment next. We'll start to get to the Malcolm Butler stuff, the Mike Vrabel stuff, the football stuff with your calls. I promise. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Well, as promised, right back to your phones. Tell me what's the difference between what Jaylen Brown said and what LeBron James said in Miami 8 years ago. You mocked him for 8 years for saying not one, not two, not five, not six, not seven. Jaylen Brown says basically the exact same thing yesterday. What's the difference? Bill in Maine, go.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, welcome back to Rip Rask Radio. That's cool. Listen, a quick thing on Jaylen Brown. His confidence is at a high, man. I mean, you can't blame the kid. I mean, God.
Okay, then how can you blame LeBron James for the last 8 years? Why'd you blame LeBron James for the last 8 years? How come it's okay for LeBron's confidence to be at an all-time high? It's not okay for LeBron, but it's okay for Jaylen Brown. No. I mean, and beyond the fact that one's a Celtic, I know that. Okay, I got that part of it. Green teamers, let's use the kids' table's over there. Here's the adult table. Now we're actually having a discussion using logic. Tell me why it's okay for Jaylen Brown to say it, but not LeBron James 8 years ago. Go ahead, Joel in Cambridge.
Yeah. Honestly, man, that's the same thing. I definitely agree with you guys, and I also agree with Murray. I mean, it's Taylor Rooks. I think he's just like talking out of his butt. But I also want to side with what Tony Mann said. There needs to be a veteran presence. There has to be someone to get these guys in line to really focus on the season.
Okay, so let me stop you. They have it.
Yeah, they do. They have Horford.
And Irving.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'd even say that Stevens, I think, is capable of it. Even, you know, Stevens is a level-headed guy. There's no issue there. I think this reflects solely on them. Again, and I'm focusing on the young guys now because I don't hear Horford spouting off it. And Irving has won. Okay? Again, whether he's with LeBron or not, he made the big shot. Okay? So Irving has a ring. But Brown, Tatum, I even throw Hayward on the list. Like, Rozier? Another one? What have you guys won? Smart? You haven't won anything. You haven't won a thing. Stop acting like you have. Like, earn it. Nothing bugs me more than guys who haven't earned something but act like they did. Whether it's in sports or anything else, it drives me. It's like millennial attitude. I hate it. Can't stand it.
Mike and Needham, hi.
All right, boys. What's going on? Look, I agree with Murray on this one here a little bit. It's not an excuse. He was puffing out his chest, all right? And I agree with Maz, though, essentially. Keep it in your pants, Jaylen. What are you doing? I mean, come on. That interview was so friggin' awkward. He looked like he had tucked it in his shorts, and now it's sitting weird or something. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Mike. I'll cut you off with that before you do any more damage. It's just part of the whole thing. Rap songs for, you know, Marcus Smart. And that's not the first time Jaylen Brown's talked like that. That's why I don't give him the pass like he's trying to impress the cute sideline reporter. I think that's the way he's been carrying himself now for months. And the things you hear about the team and what Washburn wrote about how there's, you know, infighting is the wrong word, but there's not everyone's happy with the return of Hayward and Irving, and that minutes and shots and roles are being pushed. And Bill Simmons, you know, reporting today that Terry Rozier, not happy, wants a trade, wants out, wants the restricted free agent max contract, which is $27 million a year. Now, like, money, roles, shots, you know, rap record. It's like that whole thing has seeped into the team.
And no question. And look, at, you know, I include Smart, I say, too, at least with Smart, because I just want to, you know, Smart at least plays hard on the floor, right? And will sacrifice his body and all of that. But the whole attitude of the team just oozes, look how great we are. They haven't won anything yet. I can't emphasize that enough. It's like, it's all well and good that you've got some good talent and you've got good players. You still have to win. Otherwise, you're Oklahoma City.
Okay, real quick, Keith and Whitman. Go, Keith.
Hey, yeah, you guys were saying yesterday that Jason Tatum needed to shut up and acting like a 7-year vet, and Jaylen Brown is the one that's really doing it. Well, I think it was Maz. I shouldn't say it was you, Mike, but... You know, I think they have a big problem with this Hayward and Brown situation. One of them is going to have to be the sixth man.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd be the sixth man when you're on your way to six championships. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, how Jaylen Brown views himself. You think Tatum's got a little bit of the attitude, too?
Yeah, so I don't remember telling Tatum to shut up. Did he say something that I don't remember?
I don't think so.
No, but I think
that... How he's playing.
Yeah, I think that Tatum is playing selfishly. That's how I would put it. It feels to me like every time Tatum gets the ball, he's going one-on-one out on the perimeter, and either he's setting himself up for a three or driving by somebody, that he's not looking. Now, look, it's not every play, obviously, but it feels that way. It feels to me like Tatum's putting his game ahead of the team game. And I would say that largely to a man, that's what they look like right now, or have looked like since the beginning of the year. The only guy to me that should really be allowed to do that is Irving. That's it. Irving's the best player on the team. And even then, I don't think he does it to a fault. I think he does it when they need it because he's a veteran guy and he's been around now. But the rest of them, boy, talk about a team operating with a sense of entitlement. They haven't won jack yet.
Let's get to some Patriots stuff. We'll do it right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. And what I find the most fascinating matchup this week, one of the most fascinating matchups for this Patriots team in a long time. I'll tell you exactly what that is again after Murray's update.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.